quite a few, weren't it?
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. The day after, as it were, as we usually do on a Sunday, we'll recap some stakes races. It was opening night at Churchill. They were on the grass, got on the new grass course, but by the end of the night, some weather had moved in towards the end of the program, but they did get things off to a start. Derby week underway, and it should be a lot of fun, certainly. Speaking of the Derby, Derby and Oaks, do want to remind you that here at the Clubhouse Racebook in Albany, we will open early both Friday Oaks Day and Saturday Derby Day, 9:30 opening times both days for some of that nice Churchill action. I think first post on Saturday is 10:30, Derby Day. So it's a full day if you're headed to Churchill or if you're just going to come to the racebook and enjoy the day. A full day of racing, but Derby Day is always fun, and there are a lot of opportunities, and looking forward to it. Speaking of which, you can check the website to see if there are still availabilities, but there is a Kentucky Derby syndicate, $5,000 syndicate. And as I say, check the website to see if you can get into that. The syndicates are always a lot of fun. You put in a little bit of money, OTB puts in some money, everybody gives some picks, their consensus is made, and some of the syndicates have knocked it out of the park. And so for a little bit of money, you can get in on some nice big tickets and have a little bit of extra fun on Derby Day. Again, check the website to see if there are still availabilities coming up for this coming Saturday's Kentucky Derby Syndicate. Also, Derby Week, do want to alert you, as usual, we will have our Kentucky Derby Seminar. That'll be Wednesday night. You can check it out on the social media pages, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, here on OTB TV. I will be in and be joined by Tim Wilkin, of course, longtime horse racing writer for the Albany Times Union. We'll give some ideas on Oaks Derby, maybe take a look at some of the other undercard stakes races as well. That's Wednesday, the Kentucky Derby Seminar. Coming up Derby Week Friday, the Bounty Bet returns. Keep that in mind. That should be a lot of fun coming up on Friday. And there will also be a Pick 5 bankroll on Friday. And I think, let me just reach over here. I think actually Mike Callahan may be doing that one. Yeah, it is Mike. Mike is going to be putting together. He'll give it a swing. Yesterday's Pick 5 bankroll for me, that was a tough sequence at Belmont, the late Pick 5. If you had it, I'm applauding you because there was a lot of value by the time. I think the shortest price, when I looked at the will pays going into the last race yesterday, the shortest price on the Pick 5, I think, was $14,000 for 50 cents. So it was a... The horses weren't crazy. They weren't unhavable. Like the Barkley Tag Runner, I didn't use in my mix. But the Sakatoga Runner, that was certainly playable. The horse that won the first leg was the Noda horse. That one was playable. I wasn't totally enamored with that one, however. The horse that won the feature, you could have made a case there. That one was probably of the sequence a little bit of a leap, but you could have made the case there. So they were playable. It was just that they were five that were tough to string together. There was one short price in the mix, but again, it was a tough Pick 5 sequence yesterday, so apologies to the bankroll team, but try to get on Fridays. You know, I want to say it was this time last year. It was Oaks Day last year that Mike Callahan had a pick bankroll, Pick 5 or Pick 4, but he hit for $9,000. So we are rooting for Mike to knock it out of the park again on behalf of the bankroll team. And again, check the website to put your name in the hat to get on that Oaks Day bankroll team. All right, as usual, what we will do today is take a look at some stakes action. There was, you know, limited stakes of interest yesterday, but there was a couple on Friday, one at Belmont and one at Keeneland that we'll take a look at as well. And then once again, we did it yesterday, and I'll pull up a couple more today. Jenny Reese, on behalf of the Kentucky HBPA, big race days down in Kentucky, will go out and in preview, go to the backstretch and talk to the major players, and obviously the Derby and the Oaks, that lines up very well, and we played some of those yesterday. She caught Chad Brown Friday after Zandon's work. And then I pulled up, they had done some Zoom calls and invited in some media people, and I was in the Zoom call with Mike Smith, so we showed that, but also Tim Yachting. They had a call with him a few days ago. And I thought, you know, West Coast guy maybe floats under the radar for some of us up here in this area. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of get a look at him and hear what he had to say about Taba, and then Mike Smith about Taba as well. So we showed some of that yesterday. Today, Brad Cox sent out some runners yesterday to work. Todd Pletcher sent out his three, Charge It, Pioneer Medina, and Mo Donegal. And Jenny Reese yesterday, after the works, caught up with both Todd Pletcher and Brad Cox. So we'll show those in the second segment. And then yesterday, tried to get Mike Welch from the Racing Forum, who does great work looking at the works leading into the Triple Crown races. He's been at Churchill now for a while, so he's seen the major works. Wanted to get his opinion on how the works have looked for some of the major Oaks Derby players. And we had a little technical difficulty yesterday, but I reached out and said, hey, can you maybe pop on this morning? And he said, sure. So about 10:40 or so, we'll have Mike come on, and he'll give us some of his impressions, again, over the past couple of weeks of the works of the major players in both the Derby and the Oaks. So all of that coming up on this Sunday morning edition of Racing Across America. All right, let's take a look at some of that stakes action. Yesterday, it was the Elusive Quality opening weekend at Belmont Park, and it was a nice turf race. And as I say, this one would have been a little tough to come up with. Not not totally out of the question, but there were horses that I liked much better in here. I had Value Proposition on top in the Elusive Quality at Belmont yesterday. Value Proposition went off at 6-5 for Chad Brown. I thought Proven Strategies, the three horse for Mark Cassie, was interesting. That one went off at 16-1, and you could see turning the stretch, I thought, oh, this horse has some real life. And then you can see the momentum on the outside. The number five is Scuttle Buzz. That one has the momentum. American Monarch is another one from Bill Mott I thought was interesting and had in my mix. That one runs well, but gets run down late by Therapist on the outside. So it comes out Scuttlebuzz, Therapist, American Monarch, and then Proven Strategies ran fourth. Value Proposition, the favorite, a little bit disappointing, running fifth. I also didn't have him up in my mix, but I thought Snapper Sinclair might be interesting getting back to turf. This is the Asmussen runner that has had a nice career. Earned just under a couple million dollars, but I'll tell you what, yesterday, Snapper Sinclair, 10-1, runs last in the field of 10. And off of his last few starts, this is not, he's 7 years old now, but it's not the Snapper Sinclair of old. Maybe just have to go back to the drawing board and kind of figure out where to go with him and maybe build some confidence up. Or maybe he's just, he isn't the Snapper Sinclair of old, but certainly yesterday, a little bit disappointing. As I say, he wasn't up in my mix really, but when we did the afternoon show, I said, it might be interesting getting back to turf after having tried the Godolphin Mile over in Dubai last time and running 10th in there. So, but Scuttlebuzz looking pretty good. Javier Castellano on board for Rudy Rodriguez. And as I say, you had to work a little bit for that one because the numbers were a little bit light except for the last start. Now, the last start was going back to December, so it went deep into the New York turf season. But had been off since then, so it was a comeback off of a little bit of a layoff like that, waiting for the turf season to return. Looked pretty good, though, yesterday. 15-1, you got $33 on that one. And you also have to note that Scuttlebuzz, a New York bred, Therapist, a New York bred as well. So you had a New York bred exacta. So congratulations to everybody in the New York bred program also with the New York exacta, 5-11 paying for a buck, $115 and change. So, again, nice performance by Scuttlebuzz. And if you had it in your mix in the picks, I salute you. Because, again, off the race last year, you could have made a little case there, but it was a little bit of a pull, obviously, with the price to get there. But, and again, that sequence was not unhittable. It was just maybe tough to string them all together. And I mentioned earlier, let me just see if I can pull it up here quickly, that given some of those horses in the sequence, yeah, $81,000 carryover in the pick six today down at Belmont. So keep that in mind if you are a pick six player. Down at Oaklawn, their feature yesterday was the Bachelor, three-year-old sprinters. Always a kind of a fun subdivision, you know, Woody Stevens, and we have the race up here, a couple of races for this type up here at Saratoga. So maybe we can look for some of these. I said when I handicapped yesterday, I thought Cogburn was going to be tough in the Bachelor yesterday for Steve Asmussen, and may add another potent sprinter to the Asmussen arsenal over the past few years. Cogburn had fired improving numbers in every start, had only started three times, had a layoff from September until March. The comeback was very good, so I like that one. K-Rama for Steve Asmussen had a little more experience than his barn mate and was also coming off of a nice win down at Oaklawn last time. Cogburn's going to be the number five horse, K-Rama the number three horse. They will wind up second and third to Whalen Springs, yet another horse that was coming off of a nice win at Oaklawn in his previous start, but he was facing Arkansas Breds, and Whalen Springs is the number six, is just going to push by Cogburn late. Chart margin's going to be a neck, 7-1 here. And again, he won a little stakes race in his previous start, but it was again against Arkansas Breds, and had faced Arkansas Breds in the entire career encompassing this Oaklawn meet. So they've had some fun with this Arkansas Bred. They had come in with six starts, again, all since Oaklawn kicked off back in December. They had won a couple coming into this, a second and a couple thirds. So five in the money finishes in six starts. Broke the maiden two back, won the Rainbow, that Arkansas bred stakes race in the prior start to yesterday. Then steps it up. This is the kind that's going to be fun to see what they do with this one. Obviously, the Arkansas bred races are going to wrap up in another week when Oaklawn closes. So where do they go and where does this one show up? And as I say, that three-year-old sprint division is kind of a fun subdivision every year. So it'll be fun to see. Clearly, Open Company is ahead because there won't be the state bred opportunities. And he has already proven to be talented against Open Company yesterday. So we'll see. Maybe he'll show up in some of those New York, as I say, the Woody Stevens and some of the other three-year-old sprint races on the calendar in New York potentially, or other venues as well. It'll be interesting to see what this one does, because the Arkansas Bred program, I think with the money they offer now at Oaklawn, the Arkansas Bred program is going to start to march forward, I would think. And it's maybe now where the New York Bred program was 25 years ago or so, and now New York Breds certainly, as we saw in the stake at Belmont yesterday, New York Breds can go out and face Open Company successfully, and I think Arkansas Breds are maybe on the verge of that kind of thing happening. And this one from yesterday, Weldon Springs, maybe one to watch. And as I say, you got $17 and change there. John Ortiz, the trainer. Last night, and again, towards the end of the program, it got a little messy, and by the time they got to the stakes race, it wound up to be a muddy sealed track. So the stake last night at Churchill, La Roxelana, had a short field to begin with. They had a couple of scratches, so you wound up with a field of only three in here. The favorite at 4-5 was Bayerness, and that one got it done by, what's the chart margin, over four lengths. Luis Saez was on board for Cherie DeVoe. You can see there's some moisture in the track, and it was listed at this point as muddy and sealed. Bayerness seemed to appreciate it, though. Pulls away here, as I say again, 4.5 lengths. Club Car ran second, and Chitara ran third in here. And again, you know, a scratch-reduced field, of three only, but Bayerness for Cherie DeVoe. Nice little runner for her, though. I will say, this is now the fifth victory in 11 career starts. Has to put, puts her in at or above $400,000 in earnings in 11 career starts. So nice little five-year-old sprinting mare for Cherie DeVoe and company. And again, Luis Saez on board. I was looking through the charts this morning, and it looked like a mix of jocks yesterday, but Tyler Gaffalione had a couple. And Rafael Bejarano may have had a couple as well. And I think he had a couple prices. So the Churchill Colony is going to be interesting to watch, as will New York. And now that Keeneland has ended, and once we get past Derby week, that will colony will start to solidify into its summertime makeup, as will Churchill, which I think is going to be fun in this upcoming season as well, as far as, again, the jockey colonies. I said, top of the show, we had a couple of stakes from Friday that were pretty good. It was closing day at Keeneland. They had the Bewitch, a mile and a half on the grass. That also was a short field of five. I was in here handicapping. I put Warlike Goddess on top just because of the talent. She had just missed running a close-up third in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf in her prior start. That was November at Del Mar. And that and her prior race had been triple-digit buyers. And so she had a real edge on this bunch, it looked like. But in the short field, I thought Breeze Rider with the early speed might have the potential to kind of go out there, lope along on the lead in a short field, and maybe at a little bit of a price in the short field, maybe make a little noise. And coming around, you know, the backstretch the second time and into the far turn the second time, I thought Breeze Rider might get it done at 10-1. Breeze Rider, number 7 horse. Warlike Goddess is number 4. Family Way, number 3. Number 1 is Core Values. And you can see here, Warlike Goddess had nowhere to go for a while. And then a little seam opens up, and Joel Rosario takes advantage of that. And she moves right through, and that just shows the class edge she had. Family Way, second. Core Values, third. But Warlike Goddess for Bill Mott gets it done. I would expect her, you know, she had what was verging on a championship-type season last year. I would expect her to have another pretty good season coming off of a debut like that, kicking off her five-year-old year. And you would think, again, being a Bill Mott horse, we will see her up at Saratoga again. She had 2 starts at Saratoga and 2 wins last year in the Glens Falls and the Flower Bowl. Won't shock me if those are on the agenda again. But Warlike Goddess off to a good start in 2022 to follow up a really, really nice 2021 season. And again, it looked like a little traffic there, but once she found an opening, she made the most of it. And also, on Friday, we had the Affirm Success down at Belmont. I took a little shot against New York Traffic. Our friends up in Saratoga, Eddie F's Racing, had Lobsta in, and I thought Lobsta was interesting in here going back to his win in the New York Stallion back in December. I thought if we could get back to that, Lobsta could be a real player in here, and I think he was a real player, but New York Traffic, coming out of a little bit of a disappointing effort in the Gulfstream Park Mile, rebounded on Friday. Don't forget, though, the Gulfstream Park Mile, he was behind Speaker's Corner and Fearless. This was a little bit of a different crew on Friday of New York Breds. New York Traffic is the number 1 horse. Lobster's the number 5. And Lobster's right there, top of the stretch. Right here, you think, might get a little momentum and make something happen. But then New York Traffic just keeps on going. The chart margin winds up just under 4 lengths. $2.90 for the Safi Joseph trained New York Traffic. I read Dave Grenig tweeted out, I think 100 buyer here, and we'll head to the commentator next down in New York. So New York Traffic, a nice little confidence builder, getting back to the winner's circle. Had won against State Breds to end last year, but as I say, started this year with a little bit of a disappointment in the Gulfstream Park Mile. But this is, again, one of those New York Breds that can bounce around and has done well in open company. Just, again, kind of validating how nice that New York Bred program has become. All right, that takes you through some of the stakes action from yesterday. I'll send it to a commercial. When we come back, as I say, Jenny Reese doing great work down at Churchill, bouncing around the backstretch and getting interviews. And yesterday, after some final derby works, final major derby works for horses like Cyberknife and Zozos for Brad Cox, Charger, Pioneer, Medina, and Mo Donegal for Todd Pletcher. She caught up with both of those trainers. So we'll go to a break. When we come back, Brad Cox and Todd Pletcher. A little bit later on, live from Churchill Downs, we'll be joined by Mike Welch, the clocker for the Daily Racing Forum, who will give us some ideas of what the mornings have turned out to be for the contenders. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
The first Saturday in May, that's when it happens. The Kentucky Derby. It's the longest running sporting event in America, and the 148th Run for the Roses is set for Saturday, May 7th. Play with us at Capital OTB, and you too can be in the winner's circle.
I got it. I got it. Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got a move that tells me what to do. If you don't, brothers and sisters, then you won't know what it's all about.
Talk about the work at 5:15 this morning.
A good, really good breeze. They both work 5/8 together, Zozos and Cyberknife from the 5/8 pole. We had them around 59 out, 11-1. So a good move, really good move. Track's tight. I was happy with the way they were moving together in company. So I was very pleased with it.
With pairing them up as workmates, how did you think they would, you know, kind of match up? They didn't work with each other last week.
No, they didn't. They had worked together before. I can't remember exactly when. Okay. Back this winter, but they had worked against one another in some point this winter. But I figured it would be a good matchup. I mean, you know, we weren't looking to let one of them get away from the other, just kind of cruise around there in the bridle, and it worked out really well. Flavian was on Zozos, and Florent was on Cyberknife, and they did a great job of getting to the pole and letting them break off in hand and kind of staying that way throughout.
Both you and Flo have talked about how challenging Cyberknife can be with him. You know, he can be a very playful horse. Are you seeing, you know, even more improvement with him from a more maturity standpoint though recently?
I think so, yeah. He's been really good since the Arkansas Derby, and even before leading into the Arkansas Derby, he was really good. So super pleased with how he's acting and settled in here at Churchill, and he's moving great.
Being a gun runner, did you expect him to maybe come around a little bit more as he was three? I know some have bloomed early, but this is kind of what I expected from him.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's obviously unbelievable freshman season as a sire, and he's continued on at three. So, yeah, no, he's all around sire for sure. You can get him to run early, you can get him to run later on, it looks like. And, you know, he's definitely making his impact on the breed for sure.
You said they were cruising around there, but it's been 5 weeks for one, 6 weeks for the other, come the Derby, the other one. So, but you wanted them, I'm guessing, they might have been cruising, but you wanted them to get something out of it.
Yeah, for sure. They got a little blow out of it, drink some water afterwards, and yeah, they got something out of it. And, they're, you know, it's the Kentucky Derby, it's a mile and a quarter, it's demanding. So, you know, if they're going to be able to do it, they need to be able to handle what we're going to throw at them in the mornings. But, you know, once again, super pleased with both of them and how they breeze. And, I think we're set up in a good spot.
You said before with the Derby that you can't baby a horse into the Derby, that they've got to be. and is that something that, I mean, again, last year were your first starters, and that, but just observing other, because you pay attention to what other people are doing, you know.
I feel like, you know, we let them, you know, they like I said, you know, they were well in hand and this morning. I mean, these horses, you know, breezed along pretty well and galloped that good. But you want to be able to do it and feel like you got to have a gear left, I should say. And, you know, I think these horses this morning did, and they got something out of it. And, you know, we're 7 days out and should be ready to roll next week.
There are a lot of, you know, well-regarded contenders this year who are still relatively lightly raced. How much currency do you feel yet you have with Cyberknife that he does have, you know, even though he has acted green, he has a lot more experience.
Yeah, race experience. He's definitely gotten better as he raced more and more. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's all obviously starting to put it together in his last two starts. For sure. So it's valuable in his case. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't want to be taking him into the Kentucky Derby with three starts. But, you know, obviously when you look at some of the other lightly raced colts such as Zozos, I think oftentimes they may not be as seasoned, but maybe they're extremely intelligent horses. Therefore, they can maybe, you know, process things a little easier and not, you know, get themselves worked up. But, you know, look, it's you can win this thing multiple ways. And, you know, we're kind of attacking it from three different ways in regards to Tawnyport. Obviously, it's going to be three races in 5 weeks for him with Jeff Ruby, the Lexington, and then obviously the Derby. And then you have, you know, Zozo slightly race back in 6 weeks. And then Cyberknife, obviously the most experienced horse we have in regards to, you know, starts. So we're kind of attacking it from all different angles, and hopefully one of them works.
Yeah, that's right. You're talking about Tawnyport, three races in how many weeks is it? Five?
I guess it'll be five.
Five.
Yes. Yeah.
And the other one's had three races in his whole career.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, once again, I mean, attacking it from all different angles and hope one of them work out.
Are there any parameters, you know, so-called Derby rules that even in your mind hold up anymore?
No, not really. And I think the point system's definitely changed that a good bit, for sure. So, but no, there's no recipe to this.
When you look around at who we think is going to be entering on Monday, I mean, because one thing in the point system, the pace, other than when Palace Malice got blinkers, has been, not slow, but not fast.
Yeah, it's moderate.
What do you think this year?
Similar. I mean, I think, you know, they're not going to walk around there, but, you know, there's going to be some horses break and, you know, try to get the front. You know, I think you definitely in the Kentucky Derby, you got to break and ask your horse to run out there, because position is very key. It doesn't mean a horse can't win from the back of the pack or being last going into the first turn, but I do think it is tough to get by 19 really good three-year-olds that, you know, unless there's an incredibly hot pace, we'll see how it goes.
What is the appearance of Classic Causeway in there?
And I don't really know. I mean, he's obviously a pace presence and, you know, have something to do up front. I think we're still waiting here, maybe early voting signs.
There'd have to be a defection of a quality pace horse, I think.
Chad basically said he's more than likely going to trade him into the Preakness.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. We're kind of really, once we draw and kind of look where the pace, the speed is, kind of make decisions on our plans. But, you know, we'll see. I don't think it's going to be a blazing hot pace. I really don't.
at the governor.
When it comes to a final work day, is there anything like specific or little you're looking for, or is it more of a general assessment of where everybody's at for a final work?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on each horse. You know, with Charge and Pioneer Medina with a little more time in between races, we were going to let them do a little more. And Mo Donegal, we were looking to do a little bit less, as we were with Nest yesterday. Those horses are running back in 4 weeks. So, I mean, the main thing is you want to be sure that they're getting over the ground well, that they like the track, that they're showing good energy, and you know, and hopefully execute the breezes properly, which I think we were able to do.
You guys have obviously had a lot of success in the Oaks race. Just your confidence level in the ones you have this year, and just knowing that you've repeatedly been successful there, what is that like for you?
Well, I mean, you know, we're coming into it with Nest, who I think was super impressive in the Ashland, already proven that she can win at a mile and an eighth. Really, really happy with her. Shahama's, you know, one that we didn't really know when she came in from Dubai what to expect, and her training has been outstanding. Goddess of Fire is one that just, you know, she keeps improving a little bit, so if she can take another step forward, I think, you know, she'd have a shot to get a little piece of it. But you know, I'd be happy with them all. Started out with Charge It and Pioneer Medina, going a half together. Charge It on the inside, I had him off 12-1, 24-1, came home in 23-1. Had a little bit of an anxious moment there when the siren went off. There's a loose horse. Luckily, I was able to catch it out of the corner of my eye and see it run off the track right away. And so I was able to communicate that to Luis and Carlos to, you know, the track safe. You can go ahead and continue your gallop out, which, you know, is important. And then we're looking to do a little less with Mo Donegal, just kind of a maintenance half, 48 and change. I thought, again, he worked super, got over the track really well, and looked good.
Now that your man Rapoli is a part owner of Mo Donegal, I mean, how excited is he? I mean, by his sire?
Yeah, I mean, it was a natural fit for him, and, you know, he's been following the horse in our stable for a while. He was at Aqueduct for the Wood. He saw him win there, and you know, so I'm glad it worked out that they were able to strike a deal, and you know, I think it's a good partnership, and exciting that Mike's going to be here with a big entourage to hopefully watch Nest and Mo Donegal.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good 1-2 punch there.
Hopefully, yep.
Yeah. You know, still 2 days out from drawing, but for the horses we know, any thoughts on the pace scenario, which...
Yeah, I got to look at it a little more. I mean, I think it's going to be an honest pace. I don't see it being a scorching pace, but, you know, I think there's a few horses in there that can at least ensure that, you know, that no one's walking the dog.
Is Mo Donegal, I mean, he overcame, what is a speed favoring track, but is he with his style, often those horses are sort of pace dependent, but do you think he's got that sort of middle move or something that negates that?
I think he's, you know, he's got a pretty long sustained run to him, which, you know, I mean, his final 3/8 and the Remsen and the Wood Memorial were really strong. You know, you don't see that many horses come home in 23 and change at Aqueduct going 1 1/8 miles. And, you know, he ran down a horse that had things his way up front. So I thought it was an impressive run, and gives every indication that the 1 1/4 miles is going to be to his liking. So now we just got to hopefully work out the trip. And, you know, to be here with the son of Uncle Mo is exciting. It's terrific to see how successful he's been as a stallion. He's already sired a Kentucky Derby winner, and you know, has proven to be one of the best sires in the country. So we're fortunate to be a part of it, and happy to have him, and it'd be tremendously exciting for everyone involved.
Kentucky and the Kentucky HBPA for providing those backstretch interviews. Again, she does a great job down there covering lead up to the big races, and got some good info yesterday from the Chad Brown interview yesterday was interesting. When he talked about early voting and kind of, you know, how you decide a lightly raced horse like that, do you go to the Derby, not go to the Derby, take your time, and thinking about the remainder of the career and whatnot, how he's lucky enough to be able to do that, whereas some other owners might think, you know, this is going to be my only shot at the Derby. So that was fun yesterday. But again, appreciate the comments today from Brad Cox and Todd Pletcher, caught yesterday on the backstretch after their horses worked yesterday, Saturday morning. And you heard when you watched the workout for Charge It and Pioneer Medina, the reports were that there was a loose horse on the track and the siren was going off. But I heard a couple of reports that said the loose horse immediately, as sometimes they do, just headed back to the barn. So he got to the gap and left the track, and it worked out very well because that alarm goes off in the morning. Everybody then, you know, horses are working, and you don't want a loose horse running around with workers out there at full speed. But yesterday it worked out nicely, and as Todd Pletcher said, he was in contact with his riders by radio to say, I saw the horse go off. Well, things should be okay. So their works went without a hitch down there. All right, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we will be joined by Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum. Mike does a great job up here at Saratoga. Every summer, the workout reports up here always provide great information, and particularly with two-year-olds. You can't beat having a little workout insight with some of the first-time starters up there. And Mike does a great job based up at Saratoga all summer long, most of the year based down in Florida. But during the Triple Crown, he will bounce to the various venues and cover workouts. Churchill, Pimlico, Belmont, and the last couple of weeks he has been down at Churchill. So we'll pick his brain a little bit, see who has looked good in the morning amongst the contenders for the Derby and the Oaks. All of that right after this. Stay tuned. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Birdstone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
As promised before the break, happy to make contact with Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Form. Again, we had some technical difficulties yesterday, but I said I wanted to get Mike on as we headed into Derby week to give us some insights on who has looked good in the morning at Churchill heading into Derby and Oaks. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Seth.
Happy to have you on board. And as I said, and I touted earlier in the show, the workout reports up at Saratoga, always a vital part of the handicapping puzzle, taking a look, particularly at the two-year-old races and whatnot, but you do a great job as well into the Triple Crown races, and workouts always attract attention. Derby week, Derby and Oaks week. And if folks want more information, not only Derby and Oaks, but Daily Racing Form will have reports available for those days, and that will include undercard stakes races as well, correct?
Yeah, it'll include the whole card. I mean, if the, you know, they're not all stakes, especially on Oaks Day. So whatever we have in those other races, I've been here for about 10 days, so I have one or two works on a lot of the horses, and we had some reports coming out of Keeneland, and of course anything that was down at Gulfstream that I'd seen too. So that'll all be available on those 2 days.
Excellent. So people can check that out, drf.com. And I know there are banners up there with all the Kentucky Derby information to click on. Mike, before we get to Derby and Oaks, I'm just curious, new turf course down at Churchill. Have you seen works on the turf course? And has there been any buzz from the horsemen as to, you know, what their feeling is on the new turf course?
Yeah, they all seem to like it so far. I mean, it's too early to really tell. They had about eight works on Tuesday and a dozen this morning. And we took a lot of rain last night, yeah. But they were calling the turf firm. So that's a pretty good sign that it takes the water well.
That's a very good sign because, yeah, the track looked a little wet. Even this morning, I was looking at some works this morning, and there were puddles out on the track. So that the turf course held up, that is a good sign. All right, let's get into some of the Derby Oaks conversation. I wanted to start out with a horse that I'm going to be interested to see what the betting public does, but, and I'm talking Crown Pride from Japan, and the Japanese horses going back to the Breeders' Cup have done so well in international racing. I'm sure there'll be some interest, but I'm still going to be intrigued to see how the betting public looks at Crown Pride. But I'm interested from a workout standpoint because it seems like reading the comments, the Japanese contingent has kind of a different makeup to the way they go to the track. Crown Pride seems to stay on the track a little bit longer than usual.
Yeah, we've seen that from the Japanese horses in the past, but this guy's had a lot more eye-catching mornings than probably all the others put together. I mean, he's just been I'd like to have the energy he's got. Let's put it that way. I mean, he's been terrific on a regular basis as far as energy. I mean, hopefully it's not over-the-top kind of energy that's going to drain him by the time he gets there next Saturday. But his works were terrific. He bounced out of them extremely well. Looked good again this morning. Originally, he was supposed to have an official work today. They scrapped that plan. But, you know, he did what he does every day. I mean, he put a watch on him when he gets to the top of the stretch, and he went a half mile from the top of the stretch around the turn of 53. So could have given him a work there, and that's just him, you know, and he does. He stays out there 35, 40 minutes and, you know, wanders around, does some figure eights behind the gate warming up, and then after he does his thing like this morning or even after he works, he stays out on the track and gets out of the stall, which is good. You know, I think all trainers wish they had enough time to let their horses do that kind of thing, but they just don't with the big stables and whatever and, you know, the confines here of trying to get all your horses out in a certain amount of time to train, it's hard to do that. But it'll be interesting to see, I agree, what the betting public does. He's certainly going to go off a lot shorter price next Saturday than you would have thought he would have 2 weeks ago, that's for sure, after what he's shown here.
And you mentioned he was potentially scheduled to go out today. I'm assuming today and yesterday we've pretty much seen all the major works, right?
Yeah, everything's done except I think Summer's tomorrow and in Crown Pride now on Wednesday. Summer's tomorrow was supposed to go today, and they scrapped that plan because of the wet racetrack. Epicenter did work today, even though the track was still on the muddy side when he went. And then that's about it. Everybody else is done.
Well, how did Epicenter look? Because I want to tie that one into Zandon. After Zandon's work yesterday, Twitter was abuzz with, there may be a new favorite, but I'm curious how Epicenter looked.
Well, I think Zanin got that buzz from his work last week at Keeneland. I like that work a little bit better than what he showed yesterday, but he was still terrific yesterday. And same with Epicenter. I mean, you can't find fault with what he does, and he looks like he wants to do more than they let him do. But what he does is very good. I thought today's work was better than last week. His energy going out last week, I'd have liked to have seen a little bit more, although he did work 6 furlongs, not 5 days out. But maybe I'm nitpicking a little there. But today I thought he was better, and nothing he would see today that would make you get off his bandwagon if that's where you are right now.
And again, Zandon, it's interesting because I thought a lot of the comments yesterday were pretty good, but you say last week was even better.
I liked last week's better, and I just watched that on tape. I wasn't there. Yesterday was fine. I mean, there was nothing wrong with it. Visually, again, it was better than maybe what I had on the watch. But, I mean, he's another horse that probably can do a lot more if they let him a little bit. So he just made a terrific impression. He's a beautiful horse to begin with. And, horses that look like that, work like they did yesterday, the combination – definitely catches your eye. I could see him maybe being the favorite over Epicenter. It's going to be pretty close. And the deciding factor might be what Mattress Mac decides to do and which one he puts his $2 or $3 million on.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that, but you're right. That would be the deciding factor because it's hard to make a dent on Derby Day. But if anybody can, Mattress Mac can. I'm also curious because it was kind of a late addition, and given the last race, maybe a curious addition, but it seems like the buzz in the morning has been pretty good for Classic Causeway.
No, I don't know if it's a buzz. I mean, he's looked good. I mean, he certainly looks a lot better than the horse that was eased in the Florida Derby. Yeah. I just don't know what happened there. Maybe he was asked to do a little too much in too short a period of time coming back in the Florida Derby. I think it was 3 weeks after the Tampa Bay Derby. But he's looked good coming out of it with works. He's going to be the pace. I believe he's going to play an important role in this race, whether he wins it or hits the board or not. And who knows? I mean, he gets loose on the lead and relaxes for a long ways. Look, that's what basically happened last year. Medina Spirit got loose. Nobody expected to, and they couldn't catch him. So he will be on the lead. Maybe Summers tomorrow will show speed with him. There's a couple of others that can if they want, but I'm not so sure they're going to want to, try to run with the Causeway horse. So we'll see. He's doing fine. That's all I could say. Maybe a mile and a quarter is beyond his scope, too. I think, given his druthers, Brian might have found another spot for him, maybe the Pat Day Mile, but the owners wanted to go, and he's doing well enough, so why not?
Yeah, he'll be interesting. And I know they weren't at Churchill this past week or the past week and a half or so, but certainly you've seen them both down in Florida, and one of them, I think, might wind up being a wise guy horse from talking to people, and that's Simplification. I think Simplification is very, very intriguing. But White of Barrio yesterday had a kind of a postponed workout from the morning yesterday, but worked both of them down at Gulfstream, and the reports, and I'm sure you've seen the videos, and you can give us some thoughts, Simplification and White of Barrio.
Yeah, I mean, before I left, Simplification was doing absolutely fantastic. I saw his first two works coming out of the Florida Derby, and then I saw the third one on tape, and it looked just as good, if not better, than the one before. A horse couldn't be training any better coming into a race like this than he has. His gallops outs have been sensational. But he is still, I believe, a bit under the radar only because he's been down there. If he had done what he's doing down there here in front of all the media and the TV show here that Churchill puts on, and had got a little bit more exposure for those two works, I think his price would be significantly lower, and he'd be in that buzz category along with Crown Pride and a couple of the others. So, but I think he's very live. Obviously, a hometown root for me, and off the way he's training, though. I mean, a horse couldn't come into the race any better. If he's good, whether he's good enough, I'm not sure, but he certainly looks like the part that he can go the mile and a quarter the way he's worked in the morning.
Yeah, the third last time, I think, gives him a little bit of a Thunder Gulch appeal, and I'm definitely using him. And I guess Way to Barrio looked pretty good yesterday. Again, didn't get out to, about 6 o'clock last night?
Yeah, he decided to wait until the track, made sure the track dried out completely, and it turned out to be a good decision because the track was bad again there this morning. If he had waited to try to bring him back this morning. That's the best I've seen of him in a while. I really did not like his previous work last week. He was on my he's off my Derby contenders list after that work, and he jumped back on there the way he went yesterday. His gallop out was very strong, with a minimum of urging. Now maybe the track was a little faster at the time because they were racing yesterday. They had the track a little bit more prepared for a race day than a work day, and so it was quicker. But just visually, again, he couldn't have looked any better.
And what I'm very curious about is Tis the Bomb, because, of course, off the two synthetic races looked good, but the last time on dirt down in Florida was a flop. Now, he had a good dirt race at Ellis as a two-year-old, and I guess he's been working pretty well this past week.
He's been okay. There are a lot of others I prefer to him, workout-wise. Kenny McPeak told me this horse is going to fool you right before the Holy Bull about how good he'll handle the dirt, and then he flopped that day and then come back and, you know, won two races on more preferred surfaces. He's not in my list of horses, you know, that I'd be interested in the play here. You'd have to really step forward, but, you know, it's going to be the right price. So if you think he could transfer that form, I don't even know if his best form on synthetic is good enough to beat the top ones here. But, you know, yesterday's work, he got a little bit a rank on Brian Hernandez, and that's why the work went as way as it was. Corey Lannery didn't want to go with him, thinking that the other ones might go too fast. So he took back, and the two of them sort of had a teamwork, but separate works at the same time, if that makes any sense.
Also, a little update yesterday out on the track. Todd Pletcher had his horses out there. We watched a little bit earlier and heard the sirens go off when Pioneer of Medina and Charge It were out there. That turned out, the loose horses, I understand, went out the gap and there was no problem there. But Mo Donegal came out later. How did the Pletcher horses look? Charge It is another one to me. Both Charge It and Pioneer of Medina, I think, are intriguing.
All three of his horses are training well. I can't knock any of them. Charge It, probably the best of the group. I haven't seen, I didn't get a good look at his first two works after the Florida Derby. The one yesterday was excellent. Pioneer Medina held right in there with him. I mean, arguably Charge It was a little bit better. He's a very talented horse, there's no doubt about it. It's just, you know, as green as he was in the Florida Derby and now, you know, coming into a 20-horse field with only three races under his belt, to me that's a big obstacle, a big hill to climb. But he certainly has the ability to, you know, be right there with the best of these. And maybe by the time we get to Saratoga for the Travers, he will be at the top of the division. We'll have to wait and see how that all plays out.
And finally, another one I thought was a little bit interesting. Well, I liked him in the Arkansas Derby, but I'm a buyer's guy, and I'm not sure, you know, the buyers are maybe a little bit light, but I also heard that Cyberknife has looked good in the morning.
Yeah, Cyberknife has been terrific since I've been here. Now, they tell me, the locals, that he's always been a good workhorse, but he couldn't do any better than he's done in his last two works. And Zozo's held right with him yesterday. I thought Cyberknife was a touch better, but Zozo's has done nothing wrong either. He's going to be a much bigger price, but I having trouble leaving Cyberknife off the ticket too. I mean, there's just so many horses doing well here this year. I can't remember having so many good grades on workouts for horses coming into this race.
Well, you lead into my next question very nicely, because I agree. I've been kind of following on Twitter, and it seems like every morning it's like, ooh, look good, look good, look good. And has anybody disappointed?
The one horse I'm concerned about a little bit, and then we'll see how he works tomorrow, is Summer Is Tomorrow, just because he got very, very hot here one morning on a day when it was 45 degrees, and that's usually an indication that maybe there's a little issue going on. But he has bounced out of that. He looked okay today, so we'll see how the work goes tomorrow. I'm not a big Smile Happy fan. He's going to, you know, get a lot of money. I just wasn't crazy about the way he looked leaving Florida. And when I first saw him here, although I think he's been better here over the last several days than I had seen him prior to that. But you know, look, I mean, look, these are the best three-year-olds in the world, I guess, if you had Crown Pride in, and they're all good horses. Good horses are supposed to work well, and in this case, most of them are.
Yeah, very good. Mike, before we let you go, just a little update on some of the Derby or some of the Oaks horses, Secret Oath, Echo Zulu. And the reports on the Kathleen O work were a little bit dicey, I thought, although Shug said, yeah, she's not really a good workhorse.
See, that could be. I've never seen her work before. She's not the most imposing looking filly either. She's very narrow and kind of tall and narrow. I had never seen her work before. So, I mean, just as an observer looking at her work at it, to me, it's not the kind of work that you would like a week out from the race, just eyeballing it. But, again, not knowing her, I mean, she's undefeated. She might have worked like, you know, in similar fashion going into all those races. I just don't know what to make of her. You know, she gets extra points for winning those races the way she did at Gulfstream Park with her running style, and then you take a few away when you realize that she really hasn't beaten very much at all. The best horse she's beaten is Goddess of Fire, and I think she's, you know, by far the third best of the Todd contingent that's going to run in the race. So still some questions to answer for her. Her running style, too, I mean, you know, to come from behind in 6 and 7 horse fields is one thing. To do it in a 14 horse field, you know, that could be problematic as well if she has to come from last.
Echo Zulu, Secret Oath, thoughts there?
Echo Zulu, you know, is never going to wow you in the morning. I mean, today she just had an easy maintenance half mile, but, you know, I didn't like the way she worked going into the Breeders' Cup, and she won. She's coming off a pretty hard race, her first race back. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, is she going to translate her two-year-old form over against three-year-olds now that, you know, the others have matured and maybe passed her. I'm not going to play her. I'm not going to pick her, but if she won, it wouldn't surprise me. And as far as Secret Oath, I didn't like her last work. I mean, she may be a little over the top now after trying the boys in that last race. I don't know if she'll have another work or not. She looked good this morning. I like the way she got over the muddy track here today. But off that last work, I'm going to probably side against her, too. Well, I like the two Todd horses, Nest and Shahala. I think they're both doing pretty well.
All right. Very good. Hey, Mike, appreciate it. And again, thanks for jumping back on today after a little hitch there yesterday. And I'll tout once again, people can check out the workout reports for Oaks and Derby Day, as always, at drf.com. Mike, appreciate it. And we'll talk again.
Okay. Take care, sir.
Appreciate it. Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Form. Again, you can find his work at thedrf.com. You can get the workout reports or just pull up, you know, he said he's been down there for the past 10 days. Pretty much every day he's got an article in the form, and you can kind of pick those up as well and check out his thoughts on some of the workouts. But I definitely wanted to get him on because it's always interesting to hear how the horses are coming in. We didn't talk any Taba because I think Taba, from the Tim Yakteen interview yesterday, I think Taba is coming in today. Was the game plan for that one. So that will be an interesting, you know, very talented, but with only the two starts. It's a fun derby. I mean, there are all kinds of storylines. Classic Causeway off the dud and with the early speed. Taba lightly raced, and Charging is kind of lightly raced. And maybe Early Voting is a little bit lightly raced. And other ones have shown some real talent. Zandon and Simplification, as Mike said, maybe working down in Florida, but working very well, is going to float a little under the radar. I think Simplification, we'll see as the week progresses. I think that it might wind up being a wise guy horse. We'll find out. But a talented wise, I'm going to throw some simplification into the mix. So it's really shaping up to be a fun couple of days. The Oaks, solid. The Derby, very solid. And undercards of plenty of stakes action that will be a lot of fun. And don't forget, if you want to watch here at the Clubhouse Racebook Friday and Saturday, you can stop by at 9:30 each morning. We will open early this coming Friday and Saturday, Oaks and Derby Day, because, of course, at Churchill, there's an early post time. And as I said earlier, I'm pretty sure Saturday Derby Day is 10:30. They're going to kick off a little breakfast at the Downs, as it were. But you can join us here as well for your Oaks and or Derby Day action, and we should have a full house. Always fun to have a good crowd and a little buzz and hear the cheer of the crowd as they come down the stretch, and hopefully hear the cheer of the crowd as they head up to the window to cash some tickets. And I hope that includes you on Oaks and Derby Day and today as well, because we'll be back in a couple hours with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. Should be fun. We'll take a look at some Belmont, also have some Oaklawn in the mix. We'll have much, much more here on the network to enjoy as well. But hopefully you enjoyed this morning's edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrill. As always, we appreciate your tuning in. Let me just once again update you on the promos that are coming up this week, because the Syndicate could be fun. And again, check the website to see if there are availabilities. We have a $5,000 Kentucky Derby Syndicate, and that is going to allow you to chip in a little bit of money, and OTB puts in some money, and then that all gets... And then you put in your thoughts, your ideas, your horse ideas. Consensuses are put together. And so for a little bit of money, you get in on some really nice big plays on a big day when there can be some nice big juicy payoffs. And we've had some nice juicy payoffs with syndicates in the past. So check the website to see if there are still availabilities for Saturday's Derby Syndicate. Friday, the bounty bet returns. Keep that in mind. Take a shot at the bounty. See if you can win a little extra money. And Friday, there's also a pick five bankroll. And as I said, Mike Callahan will have his shot at that one 1 year later. Because, again, I'm pretty sure it was Oaks Day last year where Mike hit for $9,000. And the bankroll team walked away very, very happy that day. We'll see and be rooting for Mike again on this coming Friday. But put your name in the hat for that as well. Go to the website, capitalotb.com. to be able to do that. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Racing Across America for the Sunday morning. Thanks for tuning in. We will be back in a couple hours with OTB Live. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.